ignore them. There are lots of places for support and help on PHP. Go to the php.net website. There's php.net/support.php with various different places where you can go, mailing lists, IRC channels, news groups. Hey, Rusty. All right, so, thank you. One slight caveat to begin with. The best PDF library that I have found out there is one called PDFlib. It's by a German company. It is not completely open source. I mean, you get the source code, you get everything. They're very helpful. They're sort of a good company in that sense. If they're a good commercial software companies, then they are definitely one of the better ones. And then you can download the stuff, use it all you want. Any sort of non-commercial use, universities, your own personal use, whatever, is completely free. If you do use it for some kind of commercial usage, they do have a license fee. It's, I think, 400 Deutschmarks for a machine license, so it's not too bad. Compared to some of the Adobe tools and things that you buy, it's nothing. Just as a disclaimer, there are some free versions out there that can also be used with PHP to plug in. There's one called FreePDFlib. It's actually all written in PHP. There's no C code there. It's not quite as complete. It can't do all the same things that PDFlib can do. So last one here, why use PDF with PHP? I just changed it now to just slide in my titles just to show you that the presentation system has various ways of generating its output, and it can slide bullets and stuff. So people who prefer the PowerPoint crap of transitions and sliding bullets and stuff, you can actually do some of these things with a web-based presentation system. And I probably should have put it in the description of the talk that I'm going to be popping back and forth into the presentation system as well. It's not just about PDF, it's about PHP, the presentation system, and PDF, and how you can tie all these different technologies together. So it's sort of what happens when you mix PHP, JavaScript, HTML, PDF, XML, all this stuff into one big lump, and showing you what you can do with that combination. So, but let's start with PDF bits of it. To create a PDF document from PHP, you first call this PDF new function. That starts a new document. You can set various properties about the document. Creator, the author, the title, things like that. Then to begin a page, for every page in the document, you do a begin page. And at the end of a page, you do an end page. And there are scopes within creating a document. So if you're in page scope, only certain things are valid. You'll get an error if you try to set document-wide characteristics within page scope, for example. So we get into page scope, we set the size. This happens to be A4, I think, size. I have a chart on the next page that shows us the various sizing. Find font. It's a font you want to use. We'll go into all these things in more detail, but this is sort of the simplest PDF document you can do. When you have generated the PDF document, you end your page, you close the document, the entire document will now sit in memory in a buffer, and you have to fetch that document out of the buffer and do something with it. So in this case, we do a PDF get buffer. Now we have the entire document in this buff variable. We can see how long it is. Some browsers really like to have the correct byte count for a PDF document they're going to receive. So when we can do that, we can see how long it is and send the appropriate content length header. We also have to send an application PDF header, assuming we want the browser to try to display it. We could send an octet binary stream type if we want to force the browser to try to download it. Of course, people who use IE, that won't work because IE doesn't understand MIME types. You can trick it, you can call it some other, it uses the extension basically, so you can give it some other file name extension, but then they're going to save it as that extension, and then Windows will never know it was a PDF, so it is a bit annoying. You can give a content disposition. Because this stuff it's not a file that you're downloading from a web server at this point, it's generated by PHP, it's kept in memory, so when people try to save it, it's likely going to try to save it with the name of the PHP script that generated it, because that's what it saw in the URL. You can do some path info tricks and actually put the real name of the document in the URL, or you can send this content disposition header that I have here. I say, constant disposition, try to show it inline in the browser if the browser can do it. And if they try to save it, here's a suggested file name that they should save it as when they save. Some browsers understand this, some don't. So now once we've sent our header saying here's the type of document that's coming, then we just send the PDF stream, and we don't really need to do the PDF delete. PHP will do that for you, but if you go off and you do something else after this, you can call PDF delete to return the memory to the system at this point. And what it looks like, it's a hello world PDF, right? It's a normal PDF. This is just the Acrobat viewer in Mozilla that I'm showing you. It's a one-page document, right? All it has is hello world on it. All right. So a little bit more about creating the actual documents. Oops. First off, and what annoys me the most about this stuff is that the origin is at the lower left corner of the page. You're used to building HTML where you start top left and you sort of go top to bottom type of design. With PDF, whenever you do specify any kind of locations for where to put start the cursor, where to put an image, where to draw boxes and stuff, you have to sort of think upside down because 0, 0 is bottom left. If you want to draw something top left, you go to 0, 720, for example, and you start doing stuff. Everything works in points. A point is a very American thing. It's 1/72nd of an inch, which is 0.3527777777 millimeters. Very handy, right? And yes, I may sound American, but I'm not. It annoys me just as much as it annoys you. No. So yes, this begin page that I had on the previous slide, I had 595 by 842 as my page size. And these are the typical page sizes that you can pick whatever page size you want. But this is another benefit of generating PDF documents on the fly like this. Say you are an e-commerce site and you're generating invoices or generating receipts for people to print once they bought something. Printing from HTML to begin with is a hassle. It just doesn't work very well. You don't really know what you're going to get. And also, you don't know what size paper people have in their printers. So this could be a profile option that people could say, yes, I actually have A4 size paper in my printer, so please, whenever you generate any documents for me to print, generate them in size A4, so it'll fit my paper. Other people always have legal in their printers, for example, or A5. So they can set that, and you can generate the documents appropriately. So here's a little coordinate example that just shows the fact that it's the origin is bottom left. So when I do a, just like before, begin page, I set my page size, I choose a font I'm going to use, set the font, 38 point is my size in this case. PDF show XY, that's a function that shows some text at a certain XY position. So you say the PDF document you're putting the text into, the string you want to print, and where you want to print it in the document. In this case, 10:10, origin bottom left, right? So 10:10 is going to be close to the bottom left corner. Bottom right, since my page size is 595 wide, going over to about 350 and then drawing to the right, bottom right, that's going to get close to bottom right. Top left, over 10, up 800 to get up to the top left. So if we look at that, here's the actual document, right? Well, you can see that that's how it actually works. You can also see I set an open action. There's a set parameter call where you can set various PDF document parameters. One of them, the open action parameter, is you're telling the reader what to do when it opens up the document. And in this case, there's a fit page attribute that you can put in that says, please open up so that the entire page fits in the viewer. You notice that the last one I opened up, I think, was in that mode that said hello world here, or maybe it was in that mode, I forget. I think it was that one, actually. So you can set some of these things, and it's not super useful, I guess, but it's nice that you can control all these things.
Does that include setting restrictions on printing?
Yes, yes, that's how you tell the document to not be a printable document as well. Yes?
And is that information available in the library?
Yeah, look in the documentation, in the PHP documentation, go to php.net/pdf. You'll see a bunch of stuff. Also, this is a pretty straight mapping of the underlying pdflib API. So if you go to pdflib.de and download the manual for the PDF library, everything you see in there, and they'll also have lots of references to PHP because that's sort of the primary scripting language that they target. They do target other ones as well, but they maintain the extension within PHP themselves. So whenever they add something new to the library, there's support for PHP right away in it. Other questions so far? It's not that hard to build a PDF document with PHP. It looks a little bit intimidating, I suppose, but the real meat of it is, sorry?
You've got the 5.95 and 8.42.
Yes.
Can you define a variable which is called like an array which with an index of 8.4, which has those two values?
Sure. And I'll show you examples of that. But yes, obviously you would have a little array of known paper sizes, and then you would then pick out the X and Y for that particular paper size. I think I have a slide later on that does exactly that. Okay. So since I don't like having the origin bottom left, I don't like having to stand on my head when I program, you can flip them. You can flip the coordinate system. So you can translate the origin. You start the page, you translate the origin up to 0842, which is the top left. All you've done so far is just move the origin, basically. Everything will still work upwards from there. So then you have to basically flip the coordinate system, saying that positive coordinates now work down instead of up. So you just give it a negative 1 on the y scaling parameter here. Things will now work down. If you stop here, though, you get a very interesting effect. You get the effect of a mirrored document. So it looks really cool because you can read the document in a mirror, right? And I've sent people documents like that, and they look at it, like, whoa. So some kind of poor man's encryption, I guess. Only smart people will be able to figure that one out. Okay, so to flip it back so it's not a mirrored document, you then set the horizontal scaling to minus 100. It's not completely logical, these three steps, but they work. So just if you want to move the coordinate system and put the origin top left, just do these three things on the page, and you can then work top down. One slight trick that will bite you is that you actually, if you do flip the coordinate system like that, you have to specify negative font sizes for some stupid reason.
How much does that slow down the generation of pages?
That's minimal. Question was, how much does that slow down things? The time it takes to make those three calls, basically. It's nothing beyond that. Right. Oh, a baby picture. Just to toss one in. I'm not even going to pretend that it's part of the presentation anymore. In an earlier presentation, I would sort of work it in and make it part of the example and stuff, but no, it's just a cheat shot. Everyone loves babies, right? So. All right. Showing text in the document. We saw the PDF show XY function. That's the one that you give it a coordinate and give it some text, and it goes there and it puts the text there. You can do PDF show. That will print text at the current cursor position. So the PDF library maintains a cursor within the document, where PDF show XY moves the cursor to that spot and then draws, then leaves the cursor where it is. And then you can do a PDF show to sort of continue drawing text there. To set just the cursor position without drawing anything, you can call PDF set text position. PDF continue text is very handy. That'll go down one line, and that'll be based on the line spacing and stuff. And it'll go down one line and draw stuff on the next line. Yes?
PDF show that wrap that you can come
to the page? Yes. It will not wrap to the next page, though, if you're hitting the end of the page. And I will show you some tricks for fixing that. This one, PDF show boxed, is extremely handy. There's really no text formatting capabilities in PDF, other than sort of going to the next line when you go off to the right. There's nothing in the library that lets you do that. PDF show box, you can define a text box, so the coordinates of a rectangle, basically, and then you can put text in. that. And you can also set how things are going to be aligned within that text box. The function will return the number of characters that didn't fit. So if it returns 0, it means the text that you pass to the text box all fit in the box. So sometimes you have to sort of loop through and figure out, okay, well, this entire blob of text fit on this page. You try it, you define your box where you want all the text to go, you put the text in, you get the non-zero number back, and it didn't fit. What should I do? Should I try to find a logical place to break this text so that we break it along a logical place and put stuff on the next page, or do we just move the entire blob to the next page? Do we make the margins a little bit wider? All this stuff that you normally don't have to think about with HTML, you have to think about with PDF. That's part of being in control. You want to control exactly how things look when you print it. That also means you have a little bit more work to do to actually set this up and tell the document where things should go. So here's a PDF show box example, just to show the different ways of doing it. So here's my blob of text. This is a PHP here doc assignment, meaning, say, text equals left, 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 up to foo, so anything you put here will end up in the text variable, anything up until the foo label. PDF show boxed. I give a set of coordinates, font size, and no font size. I've set the font size, sorry. Font size has been set up here. Top left, height, width are these coordinates here. Left align the text inside. And let me just show you the output. So here it is with 5 show boxed calls. The rectangles around them, I put in. So by default, you will not see the rectangles around things. You'll see after every show box called, I have a PDF rec call just to show where that box actually was. So they are left, right, justify, full justify, and center are the attributes that I passed in. You can see the only difference between justify and full justify is that in justify mode, the last line is not justified, versus in full justify, the last line is also justified to the right margin. Questions on that? Nope. All right. Various attributes on the actual fonts. You can set underlines, overlines, strikeout. You can combine them. So a font can be both underlined and overlined and struck out if you wanted to. Here's a little example. Overline text, underline text, underlined and struck out. You can also set the fill color and the outline color separately, or have both active at once. So this one here, I can see it better there actually, but it's green outline with a blue fill color. And this is set like this. I have overline, underlined, underlined, strikeout. Set my fill color. You set it in the RGB mode, so red, green, blue. Between 0 and 1 are the ranges of the values that you put in. A little bit different from HTML, where you go 0 to 255 for each value, basically. Nothing really too complex here, other than just knowing that you can set parameters for the document, where you set whether overline should be on, whether underline should be on. Then you set the parameter, you set the attribute, and then you draw the text, and it will then use the current attributes. Yes?
I'm trying to use the visible text for.
What am I using which for? Yeah, I don't know actually. No, because it is actually really invisible. You can't see it. I mean, one thought would be that you might try a showboxed with invisible font just to see if it fit without drawing it, but there is an attribute on showbox to say just try it, don't actually draw anything yet, so that wouldn't be the answer.
The good news for invisible text is if you don't put in a picture with some text in it, if you put invisible text behind that, you can then search for that using the PDF.
Ah, okay. That's like putting white text on white background in a web page, right, where you're trying to trick various search engines to actually pick up on keywords without people seeing those keywords in your page or something. But yeah, I suppose. Yeah? Cookies? Yeah, that's true. I mean, sort of a poor man's watermark on your document or something. I suppose. Yeah?
When you bowl committee, and sometimes they really do tricks of bowling and such, where they can't properly bowl from, so they actually put three or four versions of the same text side by side, so
right.
Slightly upset. Is there a better way of doing that?
I hope so. Well, I mean, you can do that with PDF. There's nothing stopping you from going back and drawing again on top of yourself in PDF. Actually, it's a bold font. It's not a bold. Bold is not an attribute. It's a different font that you use. There's a font bold that you choose. And I'll go. That's my next slide, actually. But yes.
Why can't you make your colors two?
Because we're basically just exposing the underlying API, and that's what the underlying API uses. You could map it pretty easily yourself if you wanted to. It's not that hard. Yeah?
You're just using your system fonts and embedded.
Yeah, that's my next slide. We'll talk about fonts now, I think. Yes, we do. All right, so the default fonts in PDF as defined by Adobe are these 14. They are guaranteed to always be there. So you see, if you stick to these, you can write your document and it should show up everywhere. I don't really agree that it's 14 fonts because they count, like Courier Bold, they count as a font that's different from Courier. Right? So Courier Bold, Oblique, Bold Oblique. Right? So that's four fonts out of their 14 already. So you really only have three, Courier, Helvetica, and Times. And then a couple of symbol fonts, symbol and SAF. To set your fonts to something else, other than these 14, you can go in and you can set it's called a font outline parameter. You can set it to a true type font, so any kind of TTF font that you download, it needs to have the Unicode mappings in them, most TTF fonts do. And you can then set a keyword, basically, candy equals equals, user fonts candy TTF. So that's just the full path to the TTF font file in your path. Then, sorry? That's my next little bit. You're getting ahead of me. So find font candy, host, and one. Now, let's show you the font first, and I'll explain the host and the one bits here. So here's my candy font example, where I just did a little thing with various characters to check if it had the various accents and stuff. The host that you see here in the call is the host encoding. So it's the character encoding that you're using in the document. By default, I think the default is host, but you generally specify host encoding, meaning whatever the host is using, that's what it's going to use. On the Mac, it's going to be the Macroman stuff. On Windows, it's going to be the WinAMC encoding. But you can specify as well that I want EBCDIC encoding for S390 systems and stuff. Yes?
The fact that there's no, we are the only encoding, these are the only encodings, means that every string you pass to the PDF to be written needs to be like WinAMC encoding?
Basically, but I mean, this is the encoding. Yes. Okay. The simple answer to that is yes. Yeah. Those are the ones right out of the PDF spec. I mean, this is not something that's PHP specific or even the PDF library. This is PDF.
So it doesn't include Unicode strings?
No, PDF doesn't do Unicode. Maybe there's a newer version of PDF that does Unicode, but traditionally, no. Yes?
The T in the capital T.
The capital T?
Over the L.
Yeah?
Is it a bug or is it a...
No, that's just the way the font is. Right? I mean, that's... You can scale these fonts up and down. That's the nice part about doing it in PDF and using TrueType fonts and AFM fonts as well. You can scale them up and down. They're not pixel fonts, not bitmap fonts. They're like vectorized fonts. So when you make them too big, they overflow each other a little bit. Yeah.
You can control it.
You can control it. Yes. Sure. It's not an inherent bug that I didn't, but yes, you can control the space between characters, and I have my next slide talks about that. It's all right. So here's a little example where I have gone through and I've shown all the built-in fonts. So I've built a little array with all the built-in fonts, Courier, Courier Bold, all the various ones. And I've picked up a couple of TTF fonts and a couple of AFM fonts. AFM fonts are Adobe Font Metric fonts. I've defined those, and I'm just looping through and showing these characters and all the different ones. Character 128 here is the euro symbol, just to check if the font has the euro symbol built in. So here they are, all the different ones. So the built-in fonts, they all have the euro symbol, which is nice. And then you can see some of my AFM fonts. Now, some of them do have it, Lucidux, whatever it's called. Utopia doesn't have it in this case. My Candy font doesn't have it. This Arial TTF font does have it. Now, to use this, you saw that I only put in my aliases in my actual code. I didn't put in all my font outline tags and everything. There is a pdflib.upr file, it's called. In that, you can predefine where to find fonts. So here, remember in the previous example, I set my font outline to be candy equals candy.ttf, whatever. You can predefine that. If you're always using these fonts, you can tell the system this is where to find them, and you can define them here, and then you can just use the alias, the single word here, to figure out. The difference between equals and equals equals, you saw in my initial one, I had an equals equals. If you put double equals, it does a full path, an absolute path. If you do a single equals, it uses the predefined default font directory to go and look for things in. It's kind of silly. I don't know why they didn't just check if it would look like an absolute path and then use that, but that's what they do. Yes? Yes. Yes, yes. I was about to say that. The next argument here, the very final argument, is whether or not you should, or whether or not the system should embed the PDF font, or the font that you're drawing with, in this case, the fine font that you're talking about here, whether or not that should be embedded in the document itself. One slight disadvantage here is that this does not do what's called subset font handling, or partial embedding, basically. What that means, subset fonts are things in PDF where you only include the characters that you actually used, as opposed to including the entire font that might include all kinds of characters that you didn't actually use in your document. The PDF lib library that we're using with PHP cannot do subset fonts like that. And actually, quite a few clients out there can't handle documents that have subset fonts in them anyway, so it's usually not a good idea to use too many subset fonts if you want to distribute the stuff widely. Yeah?
I know that just for a web page in CSS, when you find a style, you can list several fonts in order of preference, so if you find it found in your system, it'll use it.
Yeah. No, there's nothing similar in this because there's no real sort of go-between. There's no real protocol between the client and the server in this case. You generate the static content and you give it to somebody and later on they view it. So there's no real option of sort of checking to see if it has it, then rendering it slightly different and rendering slightly different. I suppose you could give it a list, but no, there's nothing built into PDF that does that. Basically, if you don't use one of the 14, if you use any of the 14, you're fine. If you go beyond the 14, you really should embed the thing, unless you know who's going to be reading it and you know that they have those fonts installed. So if you have control over the client, okay, you don't need to embed the fonts in them. There are also fonts that you can find out there that are non-embeddable. For license reasons, they'll say, no, we do not permit you to redistribute our fonts, which is basically what you're doing. If you're embedding the font in the PDF file, you're redistributing the font. We do check that bit in the font file, and you will get an error, a PHP error that says, sorry, the author of this font does not allow embedding. Yes, it's open source. It's not that hard to find the little check for that, right? but you shouldn't do that. All right, so that's sort of font handling. What's next? I used to have a little thing that told me what the next slide was about, but I changed it. All right, font sizing. Remember the PDF continue text that drops down the line? And the amount of space it drops down to print the next line, for example, is called the leading. Many people call it the leading, but it's actually the leading from the old typesetting days, where they have little lead letters that they put up. So the with separated by these, it's probably not the letters that were lead actually, it's probably the separators that they had that were lead separators. So that's the height or the distance between lines vertically in your document. Other things that you can set, well, you have the baseline for your font, then you have the descender and you have the ascender. You have the character height and you have the full font size. So when you specify a font size in points, this is the full font size, which is right from the top of the ascender to the bottom of the descender in points. And remember, points is 1/72 of an inch, which is 0.35, blah, 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 blah. And then you can sort of figure out how big the font is based on the point size. So these are the different characteristics that you can set on the font. You can set the font size, you can set the cap height, the ascender, the descender. The cap height is this height here. This is the capital letter height without the ascender and descender. And you can set, when you're rendering the stuff, you can set the leading, you can set the text rise. The text rise is, I didn't label it and I have forgotten, I don't know. Horizontal scaling, char spacing, and word spacing. Have a look at the PDF lib spec. They have a very good explanation of this in there as well. Usually all you need to set is the font size and the leading, generally. Nothing else, really. So, where you actually need to worry about the size of characters and things is sometimes when you're trying to fit a blurb of text into a certain area. Remember I told you about the showboxed function? It will return the number of characters that didn't fit in the box. Here you can loop through, and there's an attribute, like I told you, there's a blind attribute on the show box that doesn't actually draw the text, it just sees if it'll fit. So you can loop through and keep changing the height of the box, make it taller and taller and taller until you get zero back from the function. Right, so here I keep looping until the return of PDF show box is zero. Once it's zero, I know the height of a blurb of text based on the given leading, and then there's no sense incrementing by 1 point, for example, right? If you know that the font is going to be size 12, and you know that the horizontal distance, or the vertical distance between lines is a certain amount, and you can get them as well. You can not just set them, you can also get these variables. So here I do a PDF get value to get the current leading setting. I know my font is 12 points tall, so my incrementer to jump down the line to make my box one line taller is going to be 12 plus the leading value. So that's what I'm incrementing by each time through. So I keep adding one more line to the box. Then I get back and I know how many lines of text I actually have in the blurb that comes in. Then I can do whatever other logic I might need to try to cut the blurb in half and split them across pages, or maybe just move the entire paragraph to the next page or something like that, or even increase the width perhaps of my box. You'll end up using this a lot if you try to do any kind of sort of real text or document generation with PHP. Yeah?
If that's set to blind, when do you actually do the show box itself?
Well, then later on, you can then, once you know how big the box needs to be for the text to fit, then you do one more show box call to actually draw the text. Yes?
Do you expect people will do this kind of thing in PHP, or do you think that will produce some other format like
No, I think they'll, I mean, I do it directly in PHP. It's not that hard to do, I think. There are some helper libraries. If you look around, there are some libraries, PHP libraries, that sort of do all this stuff. So you can just say, draw the paragraph, and it'll figure out the text boxes and all that stuff. Just like with the image generation in PHP, there's a thing called JP Graph that has all kinds of graphing things built on top of the underlying API in PHP. Most people don't use the underlying API directly. Most people use some of the libraries that makes this stuff a little bit easier. But I prefer to teach people the underlying libraries so they know exactly what's going on here. Then you can go out and say, oh, this is a real pain. Somebody must have solved this problem before. This is a general problem. And yes, they have. There are a lot of people that have solved it. But yes, you could go through various other mechanisms to actually generate from XML to FOP and then do things. I like cutting out layers. I like going directly. I have this format, I want to go there. I really like going directly there. I'm not keen on abstraction layers. I'm not keen on many steps to get there. That's the complexity. Usually it slows you down as well. And this is pretty damn fast. Yeah?
So you have a
Yes. There's various XML parsers, there are various XSL parsers, well, two that you can plug into PHP. Not directly, no. There are more general parsers that you can then generate other formats. You could write something to generate PDF. I mean, PDF is not magic, it's just bytes, right? I mean, you can generate whatever you want, but no, there's nothing specifically to go from XML to PDF in PHP. Another baby picture. My wife puts on pictures every morning so I can see them when I'm away. This was one from yesterday. I don't know where the other sock is, and he's eating an eye. He has this little playpen thing where the eyes can pop out, and he loves eating it. Yeah, he likes hiding in there. I don't know why. All right. We can also put images into documents. These are the different formats you can put in, PNG, JPEG, GIF, TIFF, some raw formats as well. It's not that hard. Begin page, open the JPEG, you get this image pointer back. You can then place the image. Very simple, the image resource, X, Y, where you want the image to go, plus the scaling. So one would be the same scale, the same size that the image is saved in. You can put it in multiple times with different scaling factors, and it only puts the image into the actual PDF document once. So it will refer back to it, the readers will refer back to that image, and then just draw it in multiple sizes.
Is that like saved as well, so if
you're using the logo, is that I missed the beginning. Oh yeah. So if you have a logo on every page, and I'll show you that in the next slide, actually. is which really well done? Well, it's obvious questions, right? So here's the example above here, where I take the same image, I put it in a couple of times. I have a little call that figures out. You can get various values about the image as well. They have attributes, image width, image height. So I pick those up. I draw that, show X, Y. Just to show that the image was this size originally, and then I draw it a couple of times at different sizes. So here's the document with the image, the PHP logo with a couple of different sizes, sort of a little think thing, I guess. All right. All right, a little bit on straight graphics. There's all kinds of primitives in the library to do graphics in PDF, so move a cursor to a certain place, do a line two, curve two. This is like a Bezier curve thing. Good luck trying to figure these out in your head. I know you have various graphics programs where you drag control points around to get your curves to look nice. Well, there's no IDE here. There's no point in clicky things. You just have to sort of figure out those control points. I can't quite figure out how to do that. So I just made up random ones, and I get a curve just to show you how it works. And there's sort of two concepts here. You define the path, and then you stroke the path. So what this has done so far is line two, curve two, has just defined the path. It hasn't drawn anything yet. When you actually want to draw, you have to stroke the path. end the page, close the document, and same as before, out the door. That looked like that. Now, there's also a PDF close path, which is pretty handy. So if you don't have to remember the starting point, you can just call PDF close path, and that will then close the endpoint to the starting point. So here I've done exactly the same thing. I've closed the path after my curve two. And this time, instead of doing it just a PDF stroke, I do a PDF fill stroke. And I have set the color to sort of an orangish, I guess. A lot of red, a lot of green, not much blue. All right, so I've closed the path, and I've set my fill color, and I do a fill and a stroke. My stroke color is black by default. My fill color I set to orange. And some other things you can do graphically. You can set, you can do a circle. You can do an arc. You can do rectangles. You can set the line pattern when you're drawing as well. So in this case, I've set my dash pattern to be 4 pixels on, 6 pixels off in this case. And I've set it to be, let's see, RGB, a green line. Sorry? Pixels, in this case. For the line drawing stuff, it's pixels. I think. I think for the hash pattern, it is pixels. It doesn't, yeah, it would make sense if it wasn't, but I'm pretty sure it's pixels. Might have to double check to ensure that. But anyway, here are my shapes, my weird arc, my circle. The order by which you draw them in is important. In this case, I drew the circle before I drew the arc, so the arc goes on top. And then I have my green dotted outline. Yes, you can actually draw long paths as well with text. I don't have an example of that, but I should. Do I have to which? Sorry.
Blades?
Oh, blends. Blends of colors, you mean?
Gradients.
Gradients. I don't know. I can't think of a way to do that directly. I mean, you can set colors. I don't think you can. You can do transparent. No, you can't. Really. Yeah, but that's transparency on images. When you bring an image into a PDF document, it loses the alpha channel. So you could do the image manipulation outside the PDF and combine a couple of images and then include the resulting image that has the alpha channels all blended. But when you import it, you lose the alpha channel. Yeah?
I recall seeing a PDF once with a blended and there was a bunch of circle
that
getting smaller
with image shape. Yeah, so I'm sure there's a way to hack it. There's just no real great way to do it. All right, so the question earlier about taking a logo and having it on multiple pages, I lied, it wasn't the very next page, but it's this one. They're called templates in this library. So what you can do is you can take a couple of PDF commands that you want to repeat on every page. For example, you might have a header at the top of every page that has a logo and some lines or something, and do those on every page. Instead of drawing those commands to a PDF begin page and then issuing those PHP commands every time, you can create a template once. So in this case, I'm opening up an image. So this is my logo I'm opening up. Begin template. Then I save my context, meaning I save the current attributes and everything that's there in scope at the time I save it. Then I can do whatever I want in here. I can place images. So I place the image twice, the one I loaded in, and I draw a line. And I draw some stuff. PDF template example. I restore the context and I end my template. Right, so now I've created a template. I haven't drawn this anywhere yet, but I've just basically created a template and assigned it to this template variable. Now I can begin a page, and every time you want to then paste that template somewhere, there's no place template function. You actually treat it as if it was an image. So PDF place image, pass it the template, and tell it where on the page to put it, what scaling factor to use, and it'll put it there. So in this case, I've done begin page, place the template, end page. And I do it again, a second time. PDF begin page, place the template, end the page. Right? So here we should expect two pages. Each of them will have a header at the top. So let's go have a look at the document. So here's the document. We can go down to page view if you want. So I placed the image twice, right? I have my PDF template example plus an underline. And you'll see down here that the document has two pages. We go to the next page and it looks the same, which is good. And this information is only stored once in the document. And on every page, it just refers back to that same bit of PDF stuff and then pastes that back in. So the PDF file itself becomes smaller when you use templates like that. Yes?
Would that work in the same way as when you were drawing the polygons and shading over top of them, that you've got to call that first so that it's the base?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you put some text up there first and then you stuck the template on top of that, the template would go on top of the underlying text. Sure. Yes?
Can you subsequently mask that?
Mask it out?
Yeah, so instead of, for instance, say I wanted to put a, say for instance I wanted a chart that goes right to the top of
it. Right.
For example, say, would be still there in the background, but it would be covered up essentially by
the chart, yes. Anything you draw after will go on top. All right, another thing you can do, you can define patterns. So if you are, for your stroke paths and things, you don't just have to set a color. You can also set the color to a pattern, and the pattern can come from whatever you want. Typically, it will come from an image. So in this particular example, I am grabbing an image, wa.png. You might guess what it is. I'm placing it in my pattern. almost like my templates from before. I begin a pattern, I do something. In this case, I only place an image. A pattern can also be a set of PDF calls that do lines and stuff. But anyway, you define all this to a pattern. Then you can set your fill color and also your stroke color. You can set whatever you're drawing. Instead of setting a color, you can set it to that pattern, and then you can do something. In this case, I've set the line width to 50, so a really thick line, and I'm going to draw a circle with a very thick line, and the color I'm using this pattern that came from this particular image, right? And here's my circle. Sorry? Yeah, you could. You could do all kinds of things this way. Well, here I just chose the Western Australian flag, right, and drew a big fat circle with it. Not sure how useful that is in PDF documents, but it's kind of cool that it works. You can also do bookmarks. Hey, I'm almost out of time, aren't I? All right, bookmarks are basically when you have a document, you can have a set of bookmarks out the left, and they're sort of a hierarchical bookmark thing. They're pretty easy to generate. You go in and you say, PDF add bookmark. So the first one you add is sort of your sheer top, and it'll return back a resource that you can then add things underneath if you want to. You can add multiple tops, actually, so multiple top-level bookmarks. If you want to add something underneath the top one, you pass that in as an optional third argument. Say, okay, PDF add another bookmark, and this is going to go under top. And the bookmark will be wherever you call the function. So in this case, what I have is a PDF end page. Where's my begin page? Here it is. Okay, so PDF begin page, end page. This bookmark was set within the first page. That's going to take you to that particular page when you click on it. Here's the second page, and I do another add bookmark in here. So the first one was France, the second one was Denmark. So now I have a document with two bookmarks for two pages, basically. Click on Denmark, go to page two, click on France, we go back to page one. Right. You can also set thumbnails. You go up here, you can have thumbnails that represent every page in your document. And that's done exactly the same way. You basically go in and you do a PDF add thumbnail. So you open up an image, you get an image resource back, and you pass that image resource to the add thumbnail function for that particular page scope that you called it from within is where that thumbnail will be associated. It wouldn't be that easy. The question was, is it possible to make the thumbnail an image of the page itself? Not that easily. Is what by default?
Isn't it that Acrobat doesn't have a solution for the page?
It depends. On Linux, no. Some clients, I have seen that happen. I have seen that happening, that the thumbnail is an actual image of the thing, but that's something that has to be done at the client side. The question was whether sort of on the server side, if you could embed the thumbnail that was an image of the page, that's a little bit hard to do.
Making a template
of the page and... but it's not going to save it as an image, though, so there might be a trick to do it. There might be a trick. Yeah. With this library directly, you cannot manipulate existing PDF files. They actually have a second library where you can, and there is support for that in PHP as well. So yes, technically, yes, you can manipulate existing files as well. It's pretty much transparent to PHP. So have a look at the PHP.net PDF documentation, and you will see everything about that as well. It's a little bit beyond the scope of what I'm talking about today, and I'm already out of time. I'm also at the end. So resources are on here. I promised to talk more about my presentation system, but I guess I went too slow. Do you want another 5-10 minutes on the presentation system? Okay. Let's do that. Because there's nobody after me here, so. All right, so the presentation system. The presentation system is a bunch of XML files. Each presentation, if we look at the one I did today, perth3.xml. So here is the presentation file that describes this presentation. You can have various templates. The templates are what define the look. So in this case, it defines the colors, where things go, where the logos go, things like that, how the next page and previous page thing are going to be generated. You might also have noticed that for slides that scroll, you can see part of it through. This is a CSS layer, and with a transparent background, right? So a semi-transparent background in the layer, and it just works very well. It doesn't work very well in the IE though, but in the real browser it works pretty well. So you set various things. In this case, slightly transparent, white image, all these things you can set about the presentation. I have other presentations on here with different templates. Then you set some attributes about the thing, and you can see this is just very simple XML format. And then each slide is a separate XML file. So here are all the slides for the presentation I just gave, right? And the presentation. Now if we go look at, say, the templates slide, right? PDF templates.xml. So the slide title is templates. Let's go to that slide, actually. You can also see the presentation system has a little summary of all the slides that we have. So if we go to the template slide, we go here. And here's what the slide actually looks like, right? So we have an example, which is syntax highlighted in PHP, and we have some output from that example. Is that the right one? That's not the right one. There's two template slides, isn't there? Hold on. No, it is. Am I confused? Templates, graphics, patterns. Where's my blurb? I don't know. It's not called a block. This is a typo in my actual slide. It's called a blurb, isn't it? And if I redraw it, look at that. I knew there was something wrong there. Okay, I had, at some point I actually called them blocks and I changed them to blurbs. I'm not quite sure why. So you have blurbs of text, they just show up directly. One slight caveat, just like with HTML, you need to escape out XML specific characters like the quotes and ampersands. You don't actually have to do quotes, but ampersands you definitely have to do. And the other thing on this page is an example. And I have each, in my rendering system, each section or each bit in the presentation like this ends up as an object. This is a blurb object that then has a rendering method associated with it. I'm in HTML rendering mode, so it'll get rendered directly to HTML. Here I have an example object. The example has a couple of attributes to it, the title and font size and stuff. This means that it comes from this particular PHP file. So it's going to go and read that PHP file, display it. This says show the result. So it's going to execute the PHP file, and it's going to show the result in an iframe. Right? And it understands the fact that it just needs to spit it out through an iframe. And then the browser knows that, hey, here comes a PDF file. We need to kick up Acrobat Reader and show the output in the PDF viewer directly. So this looks like a sort of long, complex slide to build. And if you're going to do this in PowerPoint, it would take you a hell of a long time to figure out how to, first of all, syntax color highlight everything, going character by character, changing colors and stuff would take forever. And also, how do you embed Acrobat inside PowerPoint? You probably can with some weird comm tricks and stuff, but it's a bit of a pain. This is very easy, and they're very CVS-able, these various slides, right? So multiple people can work on a presentation together. It's very obvious when someone changes something. In PowerPoint and other systems like that, where it's a binary slide format, it's very difficult to see what people actually changed if you're working over CVS. So the system is definitely geared towards geeks. And the colors. PDF or the PHP color syntax highlighting is done internally in PHP. PHP has a mode that will color syntax highlight itself. For other things, we call out an external program. For C and Perl and things, there's an external program that you call that will color syntax highlight that for us. Okay. And this is basically the system. I mean, there's PHP code that then goes through and reads the parses the XML. And calls the presentation engine that then renders each of the different objects. Then for each presentation, you can set